There is none like you. You are worthy, O Lord, Lamb of Calvary. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. There is none holy as our God. Hallelujah to your name. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. If you are in this session, even this GOG service right now, go ahead and give him praise. Worship him for who he is to you, for who he is to us. We love you, Father. You are holy, and forever you are God. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you, Jesus. We love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' holy name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like you to just thank him some more. Just give him thanks some more. Use a moment and give thanks to God for the outcome of the Gospel of Grace conference that we held at Abeokuta last week, Saturday. He is good. His mercy endures forever. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are holy. You are awesome. You are wonderful. We praise your majesty. Receive our thanks, O Lord. For in Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, if you are in this session, ensure to type connected. Ensure to type connected if you are in this session right now. Hallelujah. And if you are joining from the MixLR app, ensure to type connected too, and you'll be followed up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ensure to type connected in the chat box of the MixLR app. In the chat box of the MixLR app. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for everyone writing connected. I don't know. I would like us to do one more Thanksgiving, even as we get tired in today's session. Daddy, thank you for calling me into the honorable ministry of cheerful giving. That's just what you're saying, Daddy. Thank you for calling me
into the honorable ministry of cheerful giving. Thank you for calling me into the honorable ministry of cheerful giving. We take our cue from 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14. Quite a straightforward scripture. Just want us to use this Thanksgiving to get into the business of the day. We'll use this Thanksgiving to get into the business of the day. And what we are saying is quite simple. Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you for calling me into the honorable ministry of cheerful giving. 1 Chronicles 29. And verse 14, scripture speaking says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Of thine own have we given thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me into the honorable ministry of cheerful giving. Thank you, Lord, for calling me into the honorable ministry of cheerful giving. In Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. In Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. All right. Glory to Abba for the continuous flow of divine revelation that we enjoy in the Gospel of Grace outreach. He keeps dazing us with words capable of saving, healing, prospering, and elevating us, even the words of his gospel. And for this, we are indeed grateful to God. In Jesus' name. You know, when God told Cornelius to send for Peter in the vision, the angel told Cornelius, said, go and call, reach out for Peter, for he will speak words capable to save you. Our salvation is in words. It's called the gospel. And God keeps blessing us with that. Hallelujah. Last 2 weeks, we started an interesting sermons discussion on the topic, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. It was quite an interesting topic. And I'm sure everyone who joined, you were indeed blessed joining that session. And I remember telling us the title was intentional. It's an intentional title, and I was in my right senses when I said amount, not mount. The Sermon on the Amount. For the teaching is on our finances. Giving money is financially related. So recently I went through my notes for the part one, and I was like, I really hope everyone has listened to this message at least once again after they had it live last 2 weeks. I just really hope everyone has listened to it at least once again after you must have heard it live last 2 weeks. We could not do the part two last week because we were intercepted with the events of the Gospel of Grace conference that held in Abeokuta, and we had to finish the series started at the Saturday conference on the Sunday that followed it, which was last Sunday. The series is The Invigoration of the Gospel. I believe it was a session of grace indeed. Do we still remember The Invigoration of the Gospel? It presents simplicity. What does it do again? Promotes stability. It preaches security. Possesses superiority. Have we said everything? I think it remains one. It's a teaching to listen to for anyone that did not follow that session. Thank you, Jesus. Today we continue the part two of the Sermon on the Mount. The part two on the Sermon on the Mount. Hallelujah. And I will plead with every one of us to be very attentive. Let's remember that this teaching is aimed at a greater stability, discipline, and accuracy in knowledge as it relates to how we give our finances to God and to the work of His ministry. As we know, in this teaching, we are treating seven F's to help us sail through properly on what Holy Spirit has in store for us. We're able to treat the first three F's last 2 weeks, and I'll be doing a quick overview on them before moving ahead to the remaining F's. The seven F's, if we still remember. Number one, do we still remember? Let me see, does anyone still remember? What was the first F? Let me use that to recall our minds to today's session. What was the first F? Thank you, Jesus. What was the first F? Let me just see if we have not forgotten the details of last 2 weeks teaching. What was the first F? Anybody? you Kukuma gave me all the F's. Thanks, Mr. Victor. The fundamentality of the amount, the freedom of the amount, the focus of the amount, the forms of the amount, the fate of the amount, the flow of the amount, and the fruit of the amount. And I remember telling us that I'm using the word amount here in place of finance or grace giving or anything that relates to it. So we're basically talking about the fundamentality, the freedom, the focus, the forms, the faith, the flow, and the fruits of the amount. We're talking about a sermon on the amount. A quick overview would be that of the fundamentality of the amount. We discussed the importance of a minister of God taking the teaching on money seriously as something that deserves consistent reflection. Yes, we talked about that. The teaching on money is something that deserves consistent reflection as believers. I remember giving us a quick statistics. Told you the word baptism is found 40 times in the Bible. The word prayer is found 275 times in the Bible. 350 verses talks about faith in the Bible. 650 verses in the Bible talks about love. While finances, material possession, and wealth are all covered in 2,350 verses in the Bible. Now, can you imagine that? Okay, can you imagine that? So, refusing to teach about finances occasionally and healthily is as good as taking up a knife and chopping out a chunk of scriptures. Okay, it's as good as just dividing scriptures. So, it is fundamental. To scriptures, it's a fundamental topic of scriptures. Okay, so you should get used to the teaching related to the amount, to the finance, because it's a fundamental topic of scripture. 15% of everything Jesus talked about related to money and possession. 15%. We even did a further statistics. We said Matthew spoke about the subject 88 times. Mark spoke about the subject 54 times. Luke spoke about the subject 92 times. Quite interesting. And we established, when we're talking about the fundamentality of the amount, I'm just doing an overview. We did a lot under this topic. That the problem with being rich in this world is when you are not positioned to be graciously instructed in being rich in good works. That's the problem with being rich in this world, is when you are not positioned to be graciously instructed in being rich in good works or being rich towards God. And we explained what that meant. I'm just doing an overview. If you have not listened to that teaching, you could be missing, okay? The truth is that Jesus made it obvious in his teaching that there is a fundamental connection between a person's spiritual life and his financial life. And we gave verses for that, which we scripturally elaborated upon. There is a connection between your spiritual life and your financial life. If you are not doing it right in your financial life, there is a high probability you are not doing well in your spiritual life. Hence the fundamentality of the amount. In the freedom of the amount, that was quite very interesting to me, because I like anything that circles around the freedom as provided by the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the freedom of the amount, we took good time to explain the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus when it comes to giving. How many of us still remember everything we talked about as it relates to the freedom we have in Christ Jesus when it comes to giving? Hallelujah. I really enjoyed myself teaching the freedom that is in Christ Jesus, teaching the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Dami, do you still remember everything we talked about as it relates to the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus when it comes to the amount? Hallelujah. Amen. So let me just give a quick overview of what we talked about. Of what we talked about when we talked about the freedom. The freedom. Hallelujah. Okay, thanks for the response. Of the amount. It's a good time to explain the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus when it comes to giving. We are so free. As in, we are so free. We explained that you are free to decide what to give. You are that free. Jesus is happy that you are that free. Okay. We say you are not robbing God when you don't tithe. Rather, you're actually being robbed of your freedom by the preachers of tithes. Anybody that teaches you compulsory percentage is robbing you of your freedom. Okay. You are not robbing God. You don't even have the capacity to rob God as a believer. You will need to get back to the Old Testament covenant to have the capacity to rob God. And we explained that last week. This is just an overview. I won't be going much into that. If you need to hear that, you go for the teaching last week. It's also on our website, gospelofgraceoutreach.org. The sermon on the amounts. The part one is right there. I'm reminded of Galatians 5 verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1. And we quoted it. But let's start with it today. So give me Galatians 5 verse 1. That seemed to be the first verse I'm quoting during the sermon. The first was during the prayers that we did some minutes ago. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. In your givings, please give me NIV, because I love how NIV dropped it. I love how NIV dropped it. I'll wait for it. I'll be patient. Thank you, Jesus. I'll be patient. Well, I will run to you, to your word of truth, not by might, not by power. Thanks so much. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. I like that. It was, KJV said, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. And I said, it was for freedom that Christ made you free. I like it. He made you free for freedom. What is he saying? And I wrote in my note, I said, oh, wrong now for Christ to declare you free and you are not enjoying the freedom. That's what he said. He said, yeah, you are free, but you are not enjoying the freedom. It is wrong. It was for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Okay. I said, some people are saying you are free to give a compulsory percentage. And I say you are also free not to give a compulsory percentage. In fact, you are more free on the other hand for it, because it has to come from the aspect of grace. It is so clear, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, it is given to every man to decide. You are that free. The problem is when you are not deciding. But as long as you are deciding, and that is the essence of this teaching, to teach you how to decide, to teach you how to be. We talked about the focus, that's the next F, so don't let me run too much. To teach you how to understand the dynamics of giving in the New Testament. Hallelujah. It is no longer cheerful if it has a compulsive root to it. We established that last week. We said cheerful giving is not cheerful if it is tearful. That's T-E-A-R. If it is always getting on your emotion, making your heart beat pants, and something is wrong, bringing fear, bringing guilt, it is no longer cheerful. You have not yet understood the new covenant. We did not so learn Christ. Christ is in the ministry of freely you receive, freely you give, freely you freely. There is this atmosphere of grace that is attached to giving in the new covenant. You cannot be thinking of a devourer being after you every time you notice something a little adverse to your expectation. Okay, that's immature as a believer. Okay, if your car breaks down, stop thinking it is because you didn't give 10% of your income. Okay, that slavish thinking is slavish thinking. You are dealing with God based on your performance. Don't do that. Don't be lugubrious. Okay, Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. I want to read as many verses. But while I wait for that, let me read this Amplified of Galatians 5 verse 1. I called for Romans 4:4. Thank you, Jesus. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, as in take hold of it, enjoy it, stand fast. Do not be hampered and held and snared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. You have dropped it. Why are you going to lock yourself again? Okay, learn how it works in freedom. Some people are missing how they were doing when they were under the bondage of fear. You learn the gospel of grace, the freedom is so magnificent to you, and you feel you should incorporate back some of the things you were doing instead of learning the responsibilities, the gracious responsibilities that go on in this new covenant. You think it has to be sustained with what you were doing. You always want to go, how did our fathers do it? How did our... Calm down. Learn this thing and learn it. You will grow. Who says you won't grow? You will grow in the anointing. You will grow in attitude. You will grow morally. You will grow spiritually. You will grow as you ought to grow, as in excellent growing without having to yoke yourself again under the bondage of the law. Romans chapter 4 verse 4. Now to a laborer, his wages are not counted as favor or a gift, but as an obligation, something hold to him. He's talking about a relationship with God. Some people relate with God like God is owing me because I did something. When something is happening, you say, God has to do this thing for me. Do you know who I am? I have never, or I always, I give tithe of all I have. I fast twice a week. When you do that, God is just over being like seriously? Like seriously? Like you really did that seriously? Message version: if you are a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift, as in it's no longer a grace thing. In fact, give me the next verse. The next verse. This is Romans 4:4, then Romans 4:5. So that you understand the context in which he mentioned this. Okay. Give me the next verse. There is life in the gospel. You should don't fidget. Don't fidget. Just stay. Enjoy the gospel. Understand the dynamics of the gospel and grow in the life of it. Grow in the life of it. Don't fidget that this freedom won't it. Grow in the life of the gospel. Verse 5. But to the one who does not walk. I thought that's the one that we now miss out eventually. But believes in him who justifies the ungodly. The Bible says that one's faith is credited as righteousness. That's quite interesting. So you don't approach God without the freedom with which his son died for you. Go wrong. That is not right. Okay, you can't be doing now to the one who works. His wages is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. You are doing God, give me as it's what is due, not according to your favor. You are on your own. You deal with God based on his favor, all right? There are responsibilities to do. And yes, there are rewards. We will learn all that in this session, okay? Even in this series. But then, the basic disposition as a believer is that of the freedom. Nobody must rob you of the freedom of the amount, all right? Of the freedom of the amount. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Let me be sure I sounded this a little more. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 15. You see, if you feel an attack of the enemy, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Then in prayer, receive favor on the basis of the gift of righteousness and go ahead to take any logical action Holy Spirit leads you to do in fixing the situation without any feeling of condemnation. And you will gain dominion. As in, enjoy Christianity. Rebuke that devil. That wants to, you know why one of the armors we wear as believers is called breastplate of righteousness? You think it is your works? It's the gift of righteousness. It has to be there because it has to protect your heart. That's why it's a breastplate. When the devil accuses you and points accusing figure, you need that breastplate alive. You need that breastplate alive, walking alive in you, so that you keep moving ahead and keep prospering in that which God has called you into. Okay, God, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, making you take decisions based on fear, as if you are not standing. Hello, you are standing. Keep moving, okay? Keep moving. When you see when all this kind of fear starts setting in, like there's a fear in Corinth or even in Romans that we had this in those days when we see, for example, maybe alcohol, for example, nobody wants to go there. But now you now understood the gospel. But you feel that freedom is still threatening. That I'm free. Drunkenness is the red line of the gospel. But the gospel never said if I touch not, taste not, and do not, or something, or the gospel, yeah, I'm free. But instead of growing in the knowledge of the gospel, you want to bring back the restrictions, the this and that, thinking that is the growth. Paul said, those that live by those restrictions, there's a word he used for that person. He said, is the immature person. The one that is living by the freedom is the mature person. Now, the mature person should be careful so that the immature will not eventually now be defiled. So it is the one that is clamoring, whether pastor or not, clamoring, hey, bring back the fear, the restriction. You have not learned the freedom that comes with the gospel. You have not learned the freedom that comes with the gospel. There is a life in that freedom. And it flows. You have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry out, what? Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Let there be this freedom. Okay? Now, let there be growth out of that freedom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying so far? It is for freedom that Christ has made you free. There was a lot we discussed under this subtopic, and I will plead with us to listen to part one again to refresh our minds on our freedom in the subject of giving. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then we move to the focus of the amount. The focus of the amount. That was where we ended. That's where I'll be picking it up from today. The focus of the amount. In this, we establish that the focus is to ensure we excel in the grace of giving. We excel in the grace of giving. It is the will of God that every believer excel. There is something called excellent grace giving. I told us last week, I said, I think somebody asked me, so you mean you don't tithe? I said, I don't understand your question. I really don't. I don't understand your question, because use the right word and I will understand. It's like asking Mikel Obi, you mean you don't swim on the pitch? He won't understand. He's not a swimmer, he's a footballer. Ask me the right question. You should ask me, so you mean you don't give excellently? Now you are using the scriptural terminology for a New Testament giving. You mean you don't give excellently? I can understand. But if you're asking me, you mean you don't tithe? I don't understand. For the commandment that goes with compulsory 10% is for the Jews. The commandment, Hebrews 7 verse 5, that goes with compulsory 10% is strictly for the Jews. Strictly, very strictly, and was wiped off by the verse 18 of that same Hebrews chapter 7. We should know that which pertains to us. So the focus of this teaching is to ensure we excel. Because some people, when they heard the gospel of their freedom, and it is pathetic, it's lugubrious, then they stopped giving. Wow. Like, seriously? It is the more pathetic aspect of it is for those that think they give, but they don't. Like I told us humorously, I think I had somebody one time. I said, "Are you sure you give? Do you okay? For example, in the Gospel of the Selfish, do you give? Ah, yes, now. Okay, when last did you give to the account of the Gospel of the Selfish? Can't remember. And the truth is, maybe never. But there is this feeling that you do. You think you do, but you don't. That is why you need to learn excellent giving. The fact that you have learned your freedom in Christ does not now mean that you don't decide. Every man as he proposes, you must make a decision. You were given the freedom to decide not to stop. You understand? You were given the freedom to decide because it is responsible of a believer. And you will learn that more today, to be involved in anything that pertains to the gospel. All right? It is, in fact, it is a sign. It's one of the things that shows that he is a believer, because his funds go towards the right thing. Thank you, Jesus. Giving excellently. All right? Giving excellently. For excellent giving is the aim of giving in the New Testament. Excellence giving is the aim of giving in the New Testament. I mean, I'm talking about giving that is on point. I'm talking about giving that supersedes a rule. It's not bound. You could be so bountifully blessed and favored in your heart, you could slash out 50%. and you could be at a particular moment, what you could give is just 5%. But you made a decision. Excellent giving. Excellent giving. I want to teach us how to do excellent giving. Lift up your right hand wherever you are and say, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, going forward, I am counted as an excellent giver before you. I am counted as an excellent giver before you in the name of Jesus Christ." All right, we took our cue from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. All right, Hebrews 7 verse 5. That was what I said the other time. The law that goes with compulsory 10% is strictly for the Jews. There's a reason why it is strictly, because it has a modus operandi. And we did that in what about tithing, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5. It goes from the people to the Levite, from the Levite to the priest, as in there is a modus operandi about it. It's strictly a temple system rule, which we don't operate in the church. All right, which we don't operate in the church. The church was giving its own. If we were not giving our own, I would say, okay. That's why when you start from the New Testament, you start from Acts, Romans, you keep on moving, you don't find the word. And Paul took time to teach on giving. If it was to be well emphasized, I don't know why you how come you skipped that word tithes? And you kept on talking of giving. You taught it and taught it and taught it like no man's business, but you never mentioned anything compulsory. There was always this word that has to do with willing, ready, cheerful, voluntary, generous. Those were the words flying around. Grace. All through Paul's teaching. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I asked for is 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. No, I've already left Hebrews 7 verse 5 since I only mentioned it when I said the compulsory percentage is strictly for those of the old covenant. But since you've given me, let me read it now. "And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment." When you say there is a rule of tithing, you are telling me you are a son of Levi and you have to really agree, okay, to take tithes. of the people according to the law. So when it comes to the law, it is, and there is a commandment, it is strictly for the Jews, that is of their brethren, and they come out of the loins of Abraham. And when you read Hebrews 7 verse 5, ensure you read Hebrews 7 verse 12, and then you read Hebrews 7 verse 18. All right. When you read 5, make sure you read 12 and read 18, and you'll be good, for it is referring to the same commandment. That was the context of the chapter, and you see how it was totally cancelled. All right, and we have our own. Thanks so much for 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thanks, Brother Shegun, for us. You abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. You know, I said last week, I said many of us are happy that we are abounding in some things, in some attitudes, spiritual attitudes, and even our prayers. Our prayers is, Lord, this aspect of my morality, help me to straighten it. Hey, this aspect of my prayer life, help me. Lord, help me in this my prayer life. I want to be praying well. Lord, I want to be able to evangelize. I want to be able to express faith. Maybe I'm so fearful. Lord, I want to have that aspect of expressing faith. That these are the things we ask God. But have you asked God, Lord, I want to be an excellent giver? That is what this verse is saying. Look at it again. Since you excel in so many ways, you have so much faith. That means you are excellent in faith. So gifted speakers, such knowledge, such enthusiasm, I'm reading the NLT, and such love for us, you even demonstrate love. I want you to also excel in this gracious ministry of giving. That is what we are called for in the New Testament. Excellent grace giving. Excel in the gracious ministry of giving. KJV, see that you abound in this grace also, talking about giving. Let me read other versions. Thanks, Ms. Falaga, for their NIV. You excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love. We have kindled in you. Thank you, Jesus. As at that time, they were not yet excelling in morality. He had issues with them, but they excelled in many other things. Okay. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. So when it comes to giving, thank you, Jesus. Make sure your aim, that's the focus, that's the goal. Don't be a passive person when it comes to giving. Be active, be a believer that knows he gives. Be a believer that knows she gives, okay? Excel. See that you also excel, as in look into it. Let it be. Don't let the fact that you learned freedom now take everything from you. You don't even do anything that pertains to the work of God. You have to be reminded. You have to be as in Kilo Shele. What happened when you were under law? Nobody reminds you. The devourer reminds you. You are automatically now you've understood the gospel and the freedom you have and everything you have in Christ Jesus. Learn how to excel without fear, without guilt, without anything. How to excel in the grace of giving. The Living Bible. Now I want you to be leaders also in the spirit of cheerful giving. I like that. I want you to be leaders in the spirit of cheerful giving. You people, there are leaders in so many ways. You have so much faith, so many good preachers, so much learning, so much enthusiasm, so much love for us. Now I want you to be leaders. I like that. In the spirit of cheerful giving. NIRV, I don't know the full meaning of that one. So make sure that you also do well in the grace of giving to others. Okay, so make sure. TPT, Passion Translation, to make sure that you also excel in grace-filled generosity. That's what I love. Grace-filled generosity. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. I believe we are doing fine. So we went further to show the two main ways to attain excellent giving. Do we still remember? Let me see if anybody remembers. That was what we ended with. Okay. We ended with it. The two main ways to attain excellent giving. Two things are the main thing. We picked it from 2 Corinthians 8 verse 19. We didn't talk much about it, but we are going to take it up from there right now, okay, and go to one more F. And by the grace of God, there is a part three. Because we are not rushing, okay? It's interesting how Holy Spirit keeps supplying this revelation. We've done, what about Titus, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5? When we did Proverbs about your morality, we started with Proverbs about your money. We explained giving there. We've been talking about these things, and yet it seems so fresh and fresh when we keep talking about it, even from a fresh perspective. In fact, when you listen to all these teachings, you most likely not even see the same points. But everything still giving you the real perspective of the gospel of grace as it comes to giving. Thank you, Jesus. So I said we got it from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19. The two main ways to attain excellent giving. Do you remember it? 2 Corinthians 8, verse 19 said, "What is more, it was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to, number one, honor the Lord himself, and in number two, to show our eagerness to help." So I said, there is number one, honor to the Lord, and number two, eagerness to help. That's how I think NIV, or is it NLT that puts it that way, eagerness to help. KJV said, show our readiness. I love that word, eagerness to help. So we'll start from that point. These two ways to attain excellent giving under the focus. The two ways to attain excellent giving. So we use letter H to do this now. Number one will be honor for God. Number two will be art to help. Honor of God for God. Art to help anyone, for of anyone, that works fine. Honor of God and a heart to help. So let's talk about the honor of God and the heart to help. A service that glorifies the Lord and show our eagerness to help. The honor of God and the heart to help. Those are the two things that needs to be working in you, must not leave you. These two things that we're about to talk about, eagerness to help, honor of the Lord, must be at work in you when it comes to the subject of excellent grace giving. When it comes to the subject of excellent grace giving, honor for God, a heart to help. Okay, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about the honor for God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Thank you, Jesus. There is no way to be an excellent grace giver in the things of God. There's no way to be an excellent giver in the things of God without honoring God. Okay? Remove the honor of God no matter what you give. If you like, give yourself self. You eventually did not eat the right mark. And it's such a simple thing. Honor of God. Keep the honor of God in your heart. The honor of God talks about a personal relationship with the God you are honoring. Okay, talk about a personal relationship, okay, with the God you are honoring. And it's so sweet that this knowledge is coming on the platform of grace. So that you know that God is at peace with you. Okay? He said God was in Christ, not counting their sins against them, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God is reconciled with you. He's not running away. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Left to God, he is cool with you. He is calm with you. He's ready to grow you and groom you. Okay, so there is this relationship you can have with him in honor for him. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. There should be a personal relationship with the God you are honoring. And I thought I should do something. I thought I should do something here for you to see something that happens in scripture. Okay, a little Bible study right now I want to do. Are you ready? You should be used to Bible study in GOG. Okay, you know we do it a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Look at that verse again. Just take a look at that verse again. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 19. Administer in order to honor the Lord. Underline the word himself. Okay, NIV brought it out, himself. KJV brought it out, himself. Take note of that word himself. I'm fascinated. I'm flabbergasted. I'm overwhelmed with that word himself. Himself. The Lord himself. That there is an intimacy in that word to honor the Lord himself. When you say, I honor the Lord himself.
I honor the Lord himself, the Lord himself, 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 himself. I love it. Let's circle out that word. Let's circle out that word. Himself. He's not worthy. He's not worthy. Thank you, Jesus. He's not worthy. That whenever the Bible puts the word himself to the description of God, there is an emphasis determined to be passed across. So follow carefully. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. Okay, I'll need you to supply me these verses. Lori, I want you to understand. Let it be coming like as fast as possible. Okay, 1 Peter 2 verse 24. On three hours. Okay, at least from the quick study, I could quickly bring out for you because I've known this for a while, and I was like, okay, when I was writing this note, I was like, okay. Let's just even bring out 3 hours first. All right. About how God passes an emphasis across when it comes to mentioning himself. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. The first phrase of 1 Peter 2 verse 24. It's a popular verse, but have you taken notes? Okay, I guess what you dropped is the NLT. No. Give me the NIV or the KJV. He himself took our sins. It is fine if he simply said he bore our sin. It's fine. But when the Bible says he himself, I love that NLT say he personally. What are you saying? He wants you to know that there was an intimacy involved when he rescued you from sin. He had you in mind as if it is just you. So it was in his person. As in, I'm not talking about an angel doing this. I'm not talking about a manipulated being doing this. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the God-man taking up the flesh of man for your sake. He personally rescued you from sin. That's the first R that shows himself. Oh, you might want to go for that. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Thanks for the Amplified of 1 Peter 2 verse 24. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on the altar and offered himself on it that we might die, cease to exist to sin. He made that happen automatically and live to righteousness by whose wounds you have been healed. Hallelujah. He did it himself. Himself. I love it. He himself. He did it himself. Galatians 2 and verse 20. You notice that he personally redeemed you to himself. So the first time he personally rescued you from a sin, then he personally redeemed you to himself. He bought you. Thank you, Jesus. He welcomed you to himself. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who loved me and gave himself. There is an emphasis. There is something he wants to drive in. There is something he wants you to catch it. That I'm talking about himself. I mean, Jesus gave himself. Not something he has. It is himself. As in himself, he gave himself for me. He personally rescued me from sin. He personally redeemed me to himself. And in the future, it is certain that he will personally rapture me. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Anybody growing in grace already? 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. He is involved. It's a personal, it's something of intimacy. It expresses intimacy. It's not, you could have simply said he took it. Okay, he could have simply said the Lord shall descend, but no, that's not what he said. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16.
And verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Oh, I should have asked for 17 too, so that you see that it is both the dead in Christ, and we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up. Thank you, Jesus. He is doing it himself. He is not sending somebody to the marshalling it. He is taking ownership. He is personally involved in making sure that he catches you up to himself. He is personally involved in making sure he catches you up to himself. Jesus is personally involved in making sure he catches you all to himself. I love how verse 17 even ends. He said, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, okay, to meet the Lord. We did what, let's talk about the rapture. You know the sequence. We talk about the sequence of the rapture, okay? Dead in Christ, then those who are alive and remain. You see, Paul, when it comes to the rapture, those that will be saved, he likes using general statements. We who are alive and we are alive, We'll go. he ended it. It has to be something of comfort. That's what verse 18 said. Like comfort. It wasn't a. But today, when people preach rapture, everybody's afraid. You should teach it like we were alive and remain. We that have believed the gospel, we are alive and we shall be caught up. Why are you scared to say it? Okay, we that remain on earth. That's how Amplify says it. It's not we that are alive and remain. As long as we're in Christ, I said that the last conference. I said, if you have believed in Jesus, if Jesus come now, all of us here as he Lord, and people were looking at me like, I know you don't hear the gospel that way. You have been hearing that at the rapture, in a multitude of 1,000 among believers, only two will go. That's not the gospel. In the proclamation of the gospel we did at the conference, it said, and by him all. It is under the gospel you start hearing the word all. It is in the law you hear words like or before Jesus died, you hear words like narrow is the way, few are they that may. After the gospel, after Jesus died and resurrected, and it came to the Gentiles, you know, I qualified it at the conference. There is the, it was referring to the Jews in that statement of narrow is the way. But when it comes to the Gentiles, there is a massive description. Even our hymns reflect it. And open the life gate that all may go in. There is something that shows that there is something massive about the salvation that comes through the redemption in Christ Jesus, even to we, the Gentiles. The Lord himself will marshal it. The Lord himself will supervise it. So in rescuing it, it was himself. In redeeming you, it was himself. Oh, in rapturing you, it will be himself. Now, would you not love to personally honor this God who personally rescues, redeems, and ultimately rapture you? Now, that is just a logical question. Himself, let there be something that shows that you carry the consciousness of the personality of God when you want to give. I love this God, the one who himself loves me. I told you, when you are talking about the love of God, they accept it personally before generally. Like I said, one time I mentioned at a place, I said, I forgot what I was thinking about, but I had to think aloud and said, God loves me. And somebody around, I don't know the person, came to do something, said, God loves everybody now. I said, you missed it. You just missed the point. Talking about God loves me, you're telling me God loves everybody. Who doesn't know God loves everybody before? But I'm telling you, God loves me as a me, the Son of God who died for me. You see how Paul was saying it, the Son of God who died for me. He said, even the faith he is expressing now, if you check the word in some other version, he said that the faith I have now is not even my faith, it is his own faith I'm operating. The life I now live now in the body, I live by the faith. Complete trust in the Son of God. I'm looking for another version that says faith of God. Is there any version that says faith of God? No version captured that. Because there's an argument if it was in God or of God. Okay. The faith of the Son of God who loved me. See the personalization and gave himself for me. So there is this intimacy when you are talking about honoring God. Okay, to be an excellent giver, it begins with a honor for God. and in establishing the basis for the excellence in the giving culture of the Macedonian church. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5 tells us something. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5 tells us something that Paul said when he was establishing the basis for the excellence in the giving culture of the Macedonian church. Paul said, and this they did, not as we hoped. I understand that to mean we didn't even require or enforce it. Okay, it didn't require our enforcing. Not as we hoped. I'm talking about 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. This they did, that's the Macedonian. But first gave their own self unto the Lord, then unto us by the will of God. There was God involved. There was something about honoring God. He was talking about giving. But he said these people started with the honor of God. As we are talking of God here, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, who rescued me himself, who raptured me himself. They gave themselves unto the Lord, and then to us as his ministers by the will of that same God. Wow. It makes sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. And I would like everybody in this session, if you can hear me, write it in the group. I want to see it in the group. It makes sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. It makes sense. It makes absolute sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. I'll be waiting for that. It makes sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. Honor God. Honor God. Honor God. Carry a knowledge of his personality in your mind when you are giving. Carry a knowledge of his personality in your mind when you are giving. It makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. It makes sense. It makes sense to honor God. When you watch DSTV, you notice how they remove God from their words. If you notice, it is they want to just be politically correct. So you notice they mute where God was said. Even in some of the cartoons on Disney Junior or something, you hear, thank goodness. Thank goodness for that. I said, what happened to thank God? No, it makes sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. Okay, it's a station for everybody. There are people that are not, okay. But you as a believer, honor God. If I'm watching a movie, once I hear you start talking about God or Jesus using the name anyhow, you start removing my interest in that movie. Before I know, I have changed the station. I'm talking about the Lord himself. You need to be guided. You can't come and sell something to me and be bastardizing the name of Jesus, the name that will save me, the name that has saved me and will still save me, ensure my final redemption of my body, that will save you. And you have the God to open your mouth and use it in money county to Aurora, Jesu, Jesu. You have that effrontery to mention Jesus in such a context. Are you okay? Okay. So now we need to honor God because it makes sense to honor God. It makes sense to honor God. You see, giving yourself first to God implies seeing God as your source and your resource. Seeing God as your source and your resource. If you have it, it is because he gave it. And this makes it easy for you to be ready to give excellently. If you have it, it is because he gave it. And this makes it easy for you to be ready to give excellently. You see, let me tell you something about honoring God. One beautiful thing about honoring God is the fact that it positively boomerangs. Because I know the natural usage of the word boomerang has to do with negative. Where I want on your me lenu baba oya yon lenu. Okay, so that's boomerang. Oju for me, but that padafun, back to sender. Okay, that's the Nigerian way. Everywhere, yeah, back to sender. Okay, that's boomerang. But there is the positive sense of boomerang. One beautiful thing about honoring God is that it's among those few things the Bible said is boomerangs. It omadapadafun. If you honor God, 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, he will honor you. It so says the scripture. When the Bible says God will honor you, First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. It positively boomerangs. First Samuel 2 verse 30, you might in the same flow, give me John chapter 12 verse 26. John 12 verse 26. Okay, so that we know we saw it in the Old Testament and we heard it in the words of Jesus, and particularly in the book of John. You know, the book of John has a grace theme to it. First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Should I wait for it? I keep on moving. I'm just looking for a line in that verse. It's just one line in that verse, okay? First Samuel 2. Some people are looking for where First Samuel is. Don't worry, we'll soon read it. Thanks so much. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I indeed say that your house and your the house of your fathers should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. As in, Toba honor me, I will honor you. Oh, my boomerang. Jesus speaking says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. As in, honor boomerangs. So, to be an excellent grace giver is somebody who honors. You honor God. You love him. I'm not saying you are perfect in your intents, but you don't joke with God. When you are giving, there is a mentality, I am giving as unto the Lord. I am doing this as unto the Lord. You will learn that a little more in our next point. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. He that honors me, I honor. Anyone serves Jesus, the Father will honor him. Okay, it is okay to honor the Lord himself with your substance. It is okay to honor the Lord himself with your substance. Shall we read it even in Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10? Honor the Lord with your substance. Thank you, Jesus. I remember explaining that the B part there is for the candidates of the law. Okay, the first fruit of your increase is that statement is a statement that has a meaning as it relates to the law. So don't go and pick it up and say it was referring to your January salary or something. Okay, but learn to honor God. When you learn to honor God, then you are good to go. You will realize you are giving right. You'll be giving right percentage because you are honoring God. Okay, you are honoring God. Those who truly honor God, please write this down now. I want to say something very serious. Something very serious. Are you ready now? Those who truly honor God don't give by reminders or remainders. Those who truly honor God, they don't give by reminders or remainders. Those who truly honor God don't give by reminders or remainders. They don't give by reminders or remainders. Thanks for the personal translation of John 12:26. If you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Those who truly honor God don't give by reminders or reminders. Don't give by reminders or reminders. You know, you understand what that means. It's quite clear. Okay, you are honoring God, so it is you are personal with God. Okay, the God that is blessing me, I will give. Thank you, Jesus. When we get to the forms, you will learn more about it, the two forms of giving, and you choose the right way. Okay, you don't give by reminders, neither do you give by remainders. Okay, giving to the things of God is among the priority. When an income comes to you, giving to the things of God is among the priority you determine. That means you honor God. It is honor that you decided first this before you started doing this. Not after you finish. You give. No divorce portion, you give. But was it out of honor? When it is out of honor, you don't give by reminders. You don't wait for the reminder. You don't give the remainders. you give in priority. Your decision is in priority. Those who truly honor God don't give by reminders or remainders. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that is quite clear. I don't need to delve too deep into that. I have like one or two verses running on my head, but I want to move ahead. You see, to honor God is a heart decision. To exalt the Lord with whatever you have is a heart decision. To exalt the Lord with whatever you have. Now I need to come to the gospel of grace in this virtual conference that we are currently having. So everybody, you need to write this down, okay? Yes, it must be in honor to God. Yes, it must be in honor to God. Semicolon, yet it must reflect the ease of grace. Yes, it must be in honor to God. Because if you are not careful, the devil knows how to tweak the mind of people. See what you are doing. Are you honoring God? You're tripping you up and down. Yes, it must be in honor to God. Yet, it must reflect the ease of grace. Yes, it must be in honor to God. Yet, it must reflect the ease of grace. Yes, it must be in honor to God. Yet, it must reflect the ease of grace. You see, the devil is a master in tweaking the minds of believers from the honor of God to the horror of God. You start fearing if what you gave is okay. Your peace of mind is tampered. Your heart begins to beat as if you have committed a sin. As in, kilo de, would you look at what you're giving? But that is what you decided to give at that time. As you grow in grace, it must be in honor of God. It must also reflect the ease of grace. Please be free. Don't allow the devil cage your mind. Don't, you are now so heavy at that. Calm down. Like, seriously, calm down. All right. It is okay to interrogate graciously what you want to give. I mean, the quantity or the quality of your gift, but you must never entertain the guilt or fear the enemy brings. It's okay to interrogate. Okay, is this okay? Okay. So that inquisitive that is okay to interrogate, but never entertain guilt. You are not doing it out of a guilt or a fear. No. That the enemy brings. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to allow the devil to sneak in your quest to honor God. You need to be guided, all right? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it must be in honor to God, but yet it must reflect the ease of grace, okay? If that's what you can do for now, tell Holy Spirit, this is what I'm free, I'm okay, fine to do for now. Do it, grants you the grace to do better next time as things go on. All right, make sure. And if he has granted it the grace to do it at that time, please do. It must be in honor to God. It must be in honor to God. Thank you, Jesus. Honor to God. Hallelujah. Honor to God. Remember, you possess the freedom of the amounts, and you are not under law but under grace. Be free to grow in your honor of the Lord. Alright, so are we doing fine so far? Make sure you are honoring God and make sure you are reflecting the ease of grace. The second one we said we're going to talk about is the heart to help. So we saw the honor of God and then we saw the eagerness to help. Okay. I will just be very fast with this so that I'm sure we will catch it very fast, okay? The eagerness to help is a right attitude of every believer when it comes to the ministry of giving. You are honoring God and you are ready to give. The KJV uses the word ready mind. Ready mind in that verse, eagerness to help, ready mind. That means there is an emotion to it, okay? A heart to help is a heart that shows the readiness to be involved in whatever has proven to be a ministry blessing to you. Should I tell us to write that down? Let me read it two more times. If you're able to write it, good. If not, a heart to help. We're talking about heart to help. A heart to help is a heart that shows the readiness to be involved. A heart that shows the readiness to be involved in whatever has proven to be a ministry blessing to you. If this thing showed that, and I got to understand the gospel via this, I will be involved in blessing it materially. A heart to help is a heart that shows the readiness to be involved in whatever has proven to be a ministry blessing to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody able to get that? Readiness is the key word. Readiness is the key word here. Readiness is the key word here. He had to help is the heart that shows the readiness to be involved in whatever has proven to be a ministry blessing to you. Thanks, Sister Dami, for that. Okay. And I said readiness is the key word here. You have accepted it in your budget to be a part of the gospel move. As in, it is part of what you've planned. When you are thinking of this amount. Okay, before that, okay, this one, PFD. This you decided it. It is, there is a readiness. There is a readiness. It's not something, it's not in the last or something that you were now reminded. There is a readiness. There is a readiness. There is an eagerness. There is an eagerness about it. Thank you, Jesus. It is normal to find yourself transferring funds in this context now of GOG to the GOG outreach account or reaching out to the leaders if there be need, something you could check. If to help with, it is eagerness, not bitterness, not bondage. Okay, no, you are not guilt driven, but simply love driven. Okay, you consider it a responsibility, not gullibility. You see, the devil has a way of making you think you are being gullible. You are being gullible. No, you are being responsible. For you honor God and you carry a eagerness to help. You carry a eagerness to help. Thank you, Jesus. When we first declared the budget for the conference, someone, like I think I told us, I've not met the person, and immediately the person sent a third of the amount to the outreach account. And after the conference, the person is like, please, once the next budget comes up, please don't hesitate. And I was like, I don't know if he said, I've made up my mind to be involved in the propagation of the gospel. And God has led him the GOG way. Okay. This is readiness. 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 You consider it a responsibility, not gullibility. There is a verse I noted, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. I noted Paul must have been like Chai Chineke, because that's how I feel when I notice a readiness, when I notice a heart that gives, when I notice a heart that gives out of grace, a heart as in kilo de Chai Chineke. That's what I wrote in my note. I could be like, Paul was like, Chai! Ira o ye olele. Thank you, Jesus. It was clear. They took it as a responsibility. It was love-driven. There was no bitterness or gullibility flying around here. This is clear love out of the honor for God and the heart to help. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. Check out the Macedonian church. Don't you just feel these guys? The Bible said, KJV said, praying us with much entreaty. But I want to read other versions because I know I love it. Praying us. These guys were praying us. That they were begging us. They were begging Paul and Koda, guys, Ejo, collect this gift from us. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving. Wow. Like, wow. Like, I could imagine Paul, like, guys, calm down. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gifts. Like, guys, take now. Take now. Take now. As in, can you feel it? Can you feel the spirit of grace Paul was trying to bring off? He was not giving any pump, but we are talking about excellent giving here. We're talking about you've understood how much God loves you. And you are reflecting his blessing upon your life. Why not? Why not if not? Why not if not? Like, why not if not? Yes, it must be in honor of God. Remember, it must carry the ease of grace. You grow. Be free to grow in your honor of the Lord. But honor God and carry the eagerness to help. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I love it. They were incredibly happy, even though they were desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there. I saw it for myself. Message version. as a, these guys must be funny for a poor set of people to be called incredibly happy, pure and generously giving. That's something. That's supernatural. That's excellent grace given. Reach out for it. Paul says, see that you excel in this too. See that he was using Macedonian church to talk to the Corinthians. And the funny thing is, Corinthians church, they have money. Because at the point, Paul said, you guys are rich now. Anybody that just comes your way, those are the people that you are associating with. But you guys are, you are forgetting me. I even took from other churches in order to establish you guys. Listen, you guys are okay. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. The NASB was quite depictive in its rendition. I wrote NASB in my notes, but I did not quote it in my notes. Okay, Philip's translation, I can guarantee that they were willing to give to the limit of their means, yes, and beyond their means, without the slightest urging from me or anyone else. In fact, they simply begged us to accept their gifts. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, seriously requesting that they might be have a part in this grace of being servants to the needs of the saints. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I am an excellent grace giver. Wherever you are, say, I am an excellent grace giver. Thank you, Jesus. I'm an excellent grace giver. So you see, when you learn the gospel of grace, we don't just learn that, yes, we are free from tithing and stuff. Make sure you learn the excellent grace giving, because that's what makes sense. It makes sense. It comes in the freedom of grace, but it flows with you in whatever decision you're able to make. But it wants to grow with you in it. It wants to reflect God's blessing in your life. It wants to teach you generosity and remove stinginess. It wants God so that it will be a land flowing with milk and honey, not a land of milk and honey, flowing, so that God can keep flowing it, because you are also making it flow. You are flowing it out. God is flowing it in. All right. You are flowing it. It's a land flowing. Thank you, Jesus. And our next F was supposed to be... What was our next F supposed to be, Seth? Our next F was supposed to be the forms. And I said I wanted to talk about the two forms. But I was a little distracted, but I will call it divinely ordained for it to go this way, to move to the flow. Because I was trying to... the way I wanted to prepare it, I couldn't, due to something that I'm not ready to talk about before. Okay, thank you, Jesus. All right, the flow of the amount. I was able to prepare this for us, and I believe it was divinely orchestrated. The flow of the amount. The flow of the amounts. That's the next F we'll be jumping to. So we'll do the other one next week. But let's look at the flow of the amounts. The flow of the amounts is an important subtopic when it comes to the subject of excellent giving. Okay? We must know the flow of the amount. I don't even know which one you're supposed to know first, whether it's the forms or the flow, but we are in it together, okay? The forms talks about the two types of giving under grace, okay? We're not talking of tithing here, we're talking about giving under grace, two types. But then today, let's learn the flow of the amount. How do we give to the things of God in the New Testament? That's what we want to talk about. How do we give to the things of God in the New Testament as an excellent grace giver? Well, there are three scriptural channels when it pertains to the things of God. Okay, that's what I just want to do for us right now, and we are good for today. Three scriptural channels when it pertains to the things of God and this gospel. There are three channels. That means, where does your money flow to? Where does the amount flow to? Okay, you see, you have this freedom. Okay, you have this freedom, so you should know what the scripture says as a believer. Where does your money flow to? Number one, the propagation of the message. The propagation of the message, or you say the propagation of the ministry, and in this I refer to the ministry of the word. All right, the propagation of the message. The propagation of the message. That's number one. We're talking about how do we give to the things of God in the New Testament as an excellent giver. That's what we're learning now. Next week, we'll learn how we give, the two types of givings. Okay, but today let's learn the three channels, scriptural channels for believers in Christ when it comes to giving that shows that we're more on point in terms of the things of God. Okay, we know the basic ones that has to do with your family, your parents and stuff like that, but this is referring to things centered around the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. The propagation of the message is the first point I would like to bring out here. If I was to use rhymes, I would have simply said the propagation of the ministry. There's a reason I would have just said propagation of the ministry because of the other points. But I want to sink it down, the propagation of the message, okay? Because it centers around the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14. I'll prefer the NLT. While if you are giving me any other one, no problem. But 1 Corinthians 9:14. 1 Corinthians 9:14. The propagation of the message. Okay, later on I'll change it to the ministry when I enter my other points. But for now, of the message, so that I'm sure I drove the point in. All right, the ministry of the word. 1 Corinthians 9:14. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Like, seriously? 1 Corinthians 9:14. How should your amount flow? I asked for the NLT for 1 Corinthians 9:14. In the same manner, the Lord ordered. So it is something God expects as a believer. That those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. You see, there are two keywords there. Good news, benefits. Good news, benefits. Good news, benefits. Good news, benefits. If it is the good news, I'm not talking of sad news, I'm not talking of the law, I'm talking of the good news. If it is the gospel, if it propagates Jesus, if it brings light of the gospel shining, okay, those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Message says, who believe the message. If it blessed you, you have a responsibility to support it. If it blessed you, you have a responsibility to support it. In fact, if it blesses you, you have a responsibility to keep supporting it. The ministry of the gospel is to be propagated. If it is teaching you the good news effectively, join in making sure there is no lack or financial or material hindrance for its growth and spread. All right, that is quite simple, Abby. Okay, the master directed that those who spread the message be supported by those who believe the message. Okay, the ministry of the word should be propagated by those who benefit from it. Do you get it now? That's the propagation of the message. Philippians 4:15, a verse we will still elaborate later in the next point. Okay, if it blesses you, you have a responsibility to keep supporting it. You see, not giving in a Christian cause is your way of saying the gospel is not blessing me. That's just it. That's your way of saying nothing. Oh, for all it. And I told us the difference between robbing God and mocking God. The consequence of both is not the broader threats. Okay, it is whatever you are going for with your money. That's your reward. But not mocking God, giving to the things of the gospel, gospel-related things, makes you enter a circle of abundant life. Okay, that's the teaching on its own. That's what Grace says about Titan part 5, if you want to understand what I'm talking about. Okay, part 5 is on the website. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul speaking. I just like to bring in this point here. We'll elaborate it in the next point. But let me bring it here for this point on propagation of the message. Paul said, now you Philippians. I followed a commentary on Philippians. And that my very lovely mentor, because I love him so much. He said he noticed that Paul has this deep love for the Philippians. You Philippians well know, and you can be sure I will never forget it, that when I first left Macedonian province, venturing out with the message, you know, it must be the center of this discussion. Not just because the person is a minister. Minister of what? The message, the good news, the gospel. There is something gospelizing in this ministry. Not one church helped out in the give and take of this work except you. You were the only one. Wow. Philippian church, kudos. Kudos. KJV, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. But you only. Aye, Paul loves them. If you even read the book of Philippians, we'll soon read it. I'm purposely pushing it ahead because I want to be very sure I'm ready to join in the commentary, in the reviewing. They will review it, but I want to join in it because I enjoyed going through it. Like seriously, I enjoyed going through Philippians. Kudos to the Philippians. Right from the onset, before other churches now woke up, when they were doing any quotes, I wrote in my note, don't be among the no church that gives, but gives without sensitivity. For definitely it seems they are giving, but they were not giving with sensitivity. Paul said, nobody. Well, all of them, they when it comes to the message, but you. Gives without sensitivity. That was the no church there. KJV, no church shared with me. No church shared with me. They must have been giving, but they didn't give towards the real gospel. They didn't towards the real gospel as they should. As they should. Okay, be happy you are giving your PFD, your personal financial devotion to a ministry that centers on the gospel. Okay, be happy, be comfortable. Okay, say to yourself, everyone say to yourself, and you may write this down, I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. I'm grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. Thank you, Jesus. If you are in this and you are really grateful and you are comfortable about it, so say it. I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. Thank you, Jesus. The propagation of the message. Those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. Should I think people are not writing it because they don't think they have been propagating it? Don't worry, you have the ease of grace. So you can start now. Okay. All right. You can start now. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I am grateful to be a propagator of the real gospel. Hallelujah. Moves me to the second point as listed in the New Testament. Thank you, Jesus. The first one is the propagation of the ministry. I've changed it to ministry. Because the second one is the appreciation of the minister. Now, the propagation of the ministry. The second point, the appreciation of the minister. In brackets, put S, minister. In brackets, you can put S or ministers. The propagation of the ministry. Thank you, Jesus. The appreciation of the ministers. Of the minister, in brackets, S. The appreciation of the minister. Clear scriptures. Galatians 6 verse 6. I said in... okay, let me just go on. Galatians 6 and verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 6. Where is Galatians? It's in the Old Testament. I could feel my wife saying, mm-mm. Old Testament. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Quite straightforward. Okay. Quite straightforward. Galatians 6, 6. And I've still been flipping my Bible. Okay, it's in the New Testament. All right, thanks, Sister Dami. Let him who is taught the word. You see, there's something circling around the word. Let him who is taught the word. Okay, it was Broshagun. Okay, it's still Sister Dami. Share in all good things with him who teaches. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And then you wonder what is going on there. BB, let him who gets teaching in the word give a part in all good things to his teacher. Amplified, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Quite an instruction. So I wanted to see the NIV, I wanted to see the NLT, okay. I wanted to see the NIV, I wanted to see the NLT. Thank you, Jesus. How are we doing fine so far? I didn't check out the message, but I think it might be interesting. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. That's the NASB. Is anybody giving me the NIV? Anyone supplying the NIV? The NIV go? Nobody? NIV, NLT. I wanted to see the NIV and the NLT. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, NLT, thanks so much. Those who are taught with the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Okay, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Okay, that's NLT, thanks so much. All right, please let us know that it is okay to give to ministers of the gospel. It is okay, all right. Emphasis once again is the gospel, okay. Is the gospel very sure now? You who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Okay, it is okay to give to ministers of the gospel. Emphasis once again is the gospel. I have to teach you, for it is the scripture. All right, it is not just even okay to do so. It is instructed. Not just instructed, it is expected. It is divinely expected that it is done so. It is not just okay, it is expected to do so. It's not just okay to do so, it's expected to do so. NIV, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Thank you, Jesus. The point here is an appreciation of the minister. What you are saying is, I thank God for bringing the light of the gospel my way through you. I thank God for bringing the light of the gospel my way through you. Okay. And I said I was going to do a little quiz. Hope we know appreciation has two basic meanings. Appreciation, the word appreciation, it has two basic meanings. What does it mean for our English for our English gurus here? It's Dr. Biola here. Mommy Falake, what does appreciation mean? It has two meanings. Okay. Sister Maya, if you're here, you can help us. Mommy B, appreciation, what does it mean? Bro Ezike, what does appreciation mean? Two meanings. It has two meanings. What are they? Okay. What are they? I'll wait for it actually, because I wanted to be sure we get it ourselves. Appreciation. Okay. The two meanings of appreciation. 10 more seconds. Appreciation. Some people must have run to Google by now. It has two distinct meanings. Interestingly, the Bible applies both meanings. And we're going to see that now. But we just need to talk about it because there is something with the Christian world, especially in today's culture, that kind of now I wish you could say it. Okay. But there's no problem. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thanks, Brazike. You just gave it to me what I wanted, a show of gratitude and an increase in value. All right. Thanks so much. That's just what I wanted to see. Acknowledgement and enhancement. Okay, that's how I wrote it in my notes. Acknowledgement as a show of gratitude and enhancement. When you say something appreciates in value, that means there is an increase in the value of that thing. Okay, let us learn to give in acknowledging God's favor, okay, on us by being a blessing to the gospel minister and also enhancing the value of the gospel minister. Okay, giving, acknowledging God's favor on you by being a blessing to the gospel minister. Okay, and also enhancing the value of the gospel minister. You see, it is okay to have your gospel pastor comfortable. It's okay. All right. I didn't plan writing this today. Like I said, I believe it was divinely orchestrated. Just kept coming. I was like, okay, let's write it and let's deliver it as Holy Spirit wants everyone to learn about excellent giving. Paul, in vindicating this thought line, quoted 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 1 Cor 9 and 11. Paul asked quite a rhetorical question in that context. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. He said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it too much to reap your material things? Like I said, it's not just okay, it's something expected. It's something divinely even expected. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, if we have been to you a blessing spiritually, it's not too much. It's okay. It's fine. It's acceptable. It's expected to reap material things. Okay. As in, that was Paul's way of saying korong now. Okay. Korong. All right. Thanks for the amplified. If we have sown the seed of spiritual good among you, is it too much if we reap from your material benefits? Okay. NLT, since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? It's okay spiritually. The truth is, if that minister is indeed called of God, if that minister is indeed called of God and you don't appreciate him, God will raise another set or sect of believers to do so. All right, what we just quoted is 1 Corinthians 9:11. So now you're going to give me 2 Corinthians 11:9. We just did 1 Corinthians 9:11. Now you give me 2 Corinthians 11:9. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. What I just said is, the truth is, if the minister, the gospel minister, is indeed called of God, if he's indeed called of God, and you don't appreciate him, God will raise another set or sect of believers to do so. Now, I do want to talk about, what do you think about that? How cool is that? What do you think about that? Okay. That was Paul's way of saying something in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. he said something to the Corinthians that was quite interesting. Is anybody giving it to me? Let me go to my Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. Okay. Thanks for the amplified, Mommy B. And when I was with you and ran short financially, I did not burden any of you. For what I lacked was abundantly made up by the brethren who came from Macedonia. you guys ought to know you ought to do, but since you refuse to do it, okay, no problem. God will raise another set or sect of believers to do so. So I kept myself from being bothersome to you in any way, and I will continue doing like this. Okay, and when I was present with you, I was in need. I let no man be responsible for me for the brothers. In my note, I said this was Paul's way of saying, I want goons me handle it. I want team me, I want team me handle it. Okay, so I want to do something now to be sure I drove this home. Because this will settle your heart when you notice arguments, maybe on social media or stuff like that. You know the gracious way of understanding this aspect, okay? So remember, we do it out of gratitude to God, okay? Cheerful giving all the way, ease of grace all the way, all in order. Philippians 4, 15 to 19, that's what I want to elaborate something on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. And I want you to see something. In Philippians 4, 15 to 19, something very, very important. It's quite a popular verse, but I want you to see the flow. See the flow of events. It's quite a popular thing, but a careful look at this passage popped out 7 revelation points of the gift of the Philippians. 7 things about the gift of the Philippians. You might want to take note of it. 7 things about the gift of the Philippians. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruits that abound to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now take a look at that portion of scripture, and then let's check out 7 hours. We'll just do it very quick. 7 hours that happened to the gifts of the Philippians in Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Number one, their gift was rational. It was a rational gift. Others did not do, but they thought they should do it. So it was a think through that came out of an appreciation. We should do this. Their gift was rational. It was a rational gift. Okay. They deemed it fit to appreciate Paul when others either neglected or decided otherwise. Either they didn't want to call Biarasi. They didn't even think that way, but they, I believe, by the help of the Holy Spirit, were rational about it to make sure they stood with him. Paul said, no church shared with me, but you only. But you only. Now, that's number one. Their gift was rational. It moves ahead. Their gift was repeated. Take note of the flow of the verse. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity. Wow. They were not minding the frequency of reaching out to Paul. They were not like, but we still did. We still... When it comes to being a blessing to the minister, it was rational. It was repeated. There was freedom of love shown, showered on Paul. As a minister of the gospel, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Their gift was not rational. Their gift was repeated. Number three, their gift was ready. It was ready. Take note of Paul's word. Not that I seek the gift. I didn't seek it. You were the one that even sought myself. If I only made you even know that, okay, there was you were ready, you were ready. It was always ready. It was just okay. No problem. We will see to it. Okay, we will see to it. We will see to it, brother Paul. Okay, within this timeline, you have this resolved. It was ready. It was ready. Their gift was rational. Their gift was repeated. Their gift was ready. Thank you, Jesus. Are we going together so far? Is it making sense? Number four, their gift was replenishing. Their gift was replenishing. Replenishing, yeah, talking about supply. It was increasing. It was making something available. Read with me. He said in Thessalonica, you sent it once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I like the Amplified for that place. I seek the fruits that abound to your account. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. Okay, I guess this is a new version of Amplified. The Amplified I read earlier today said your heavenly account. I just like that. your heavenly account. I see. It was a replenishing gift. It was a ready gift. It was a repeated gift. It was a rational gift. So there was something going on in the spiritual. There were records piling up for reward. Remember, under grace, you are not the dictator of the reward. Your own is just the full of good work. Let God determine the reward. And what does he do? He rewards. Thank you, Jesus. Number five, their gift was refreshing. Is this making sense? Their gift was refreshing. Read with me. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I love that. I am full. As in, they finished Paul. You guys don't finish me. Kilo day. I have all. They appreciated him on the two fronts. They appreciated him. They increased his value. They finished the guy. What? I have all. Other churches were not thinking. But you thought. You thought it's wise. You were rational. Your gift was repeated. Your gift was ready. Your gift was replenishing. Your gift was refreshing. They dazed Paul in appreciating both his person and value. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. Are we doing fine so far? And the next, number six, their gift was received. It was received. There is something, okay, but I said it's next week we'll talk about. In your understanding of honoring God, you need to know that God peeps. God notes. God take notes. Read with me. I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Wait, I thought it was to Paul. But when the gospel is involved, it is now to God. How did to God show up here? How did it show up here? It is in the flow of the giving of the New Testament. Hence, it has to be taught. It was received. God received it. I like the word acceptable. It's one of the words we'll be sitting down with next week, so that you understand the flow, the forms, the faith, and the fruits of the amount. God took notes. That's what I wrote in my note under their gift was received. God took notes. And finally, their gift was rewarded. God took action. And then you read verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's a mouthful to show you God took action. God took notes and he took action. He took notes. It was accepted. You think you are just doing it, but hello, somebody somewhere noted. that was on point. That was on point. Their gift was rational. It was repeated. It was ready. It was replenishing. It was refreshing. It was received. As in, the matter changed from Paul to God. From the sixth and seventh points, you start seeing God, well pleasing to God. So God was in this movie since, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Was that a blessing? It is I need Amplified for 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17, because it's important to note that even in a payroll church setting, a church that pays salaries, okay, the gospel teachers, the word, the gospel is emphasized. Okay, there is something I just need to let you know, that once it is gospel centered, be involved, okay, in the ministry, in the minister. All right, thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy 5:17. It is important to note that even in a payroll church setting, the gospel teachers are emphasized. Anybody giving me the Amplified for 1 Timothy 5:17? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm waiting for you to amplify it. If not, I move to the next point. The first point was the propagation of the ministry. The second point was the appreciation of the minister. And the third point is the intervention to the ministered. Now, this one has a ED, okay, those that received the ministry, okay. This refers to the poor among the saints, okay, those that, there's an emphasis on the minister, because I want to make you understand that it is primarily to those in the faith, okay. It is primarily to those in the faith, so that's why I use the word minister, not just, I didn't say intervention to the poor, to the ministered. Poor among the saints. All right. Thank you, Jesus. The intervention to the ministered. All right. I asked for 1 Timothy 5:17. Should I still wait for it or I keep on going? All right. Let's keep on moving then. You can read it in your own closet. I wanted to tell us the importance of that even in a payroll church setting, the gospel teachers were emphasized. Okay, just to show you the power of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:17 is still under number 2, not under number 3. It's still under number 2. That's why I'm waiting for it. But I've entered number 3. It's still under number 2, the appreciation of the minister. 1 Timothy 5:17 is under number 2, the appreciation of the minister. Okay. So let's move ahead. The intervention to the ministered. Okay, finally. Okay, I asked for the Amplified. For 1 Timothy 5:17. The pastors who lead the church well should be paid well. You gave me the Passion Translation. They should receive double honor for faithfully preaching and teaching the revelation of the Word of God. I wanted the Amplified. There was a reason I wanted the Amplified. Okay. But let's move ahead. The intervention to the ministered. And I said this refers to the poor among the saints. The poor among the saints. Let us notice the priority of the flow of the amounts here. The priority of the flow of the amounts here. While it is okay to help any poor, your main responsibility as a believer is for your giving to flow in the direction of the poor who are believers in Jesus. Okay. I've been trying not to call any verse, just in case 1 Timothy 5:17 of the second point comes in. Okay. Especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. All right. Okay. That means it will be the former version there emphasizes what they were teaching. The former version there talks about they were teaching the eternal salvation that is in Christ Jesus. That's what the former version for 1 Timothy 5:17 says. All right, so now we are talking about the intervention to the ministered as the third point of the flow of the amount. And I would like you to give me Galatians 6:10.
Galatians 6 verse 10, then also give me Romans 12 verse 13. Galatians 6 10 and Romans 12 verse 13. Galatians 6 10 and Romans 12 verse 13. And everyone should please take notes of something very, very interesting in these two verses, Galatians 6 10 and Romans 12 13. Galatians 6 10 and Romans 12 verses 13. Romans 12 verses 13. Romans 12 verses 13. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks for Galatians 6 verse 10. He said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. So he didn't say you shouldn't do for those who are not believers, but he puts an especially there. Please take note of your especially. All right, take note of your especially is very profitable, especially to those who are of the household of faith, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The Amplified, so then as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers. You saw that Galatians 6 verse 10, Romans 12 verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, There is an emphasis, there is a priority, there is an especially that has to do with giving to the saints. There is an emphasis, a priority, and especially that has to do with the giving to the saints. Amplify, contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, pursue the practice of hospitality. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, please let us note the priority of the flow of the amount. While it is okay to help any poor, your main responsibility as a believer is for your giving to flow in the direction of the poor who are believers in Jesus. True ministers of the gospel are sensitive to the needs of inadequate members, and giving to such ministry helps get this done too. Okay, what I mean is when you give to the ministry, the first point, propagation of the ministry, when you give to the ministry that teaches the word, they are sensitive to the needs of inadequate members, and giving to such ministry helps get this aspect done too. Hence, it can be done corporately, or individually. All right, so when you give, know that you are giving for the propagation of the gospel and for the welfare of the saints, especially the saints that need it among the church. Okay, before any humanitarian need is given priority, the first priority you have as a believer is that of the saints. All right, is that of the saints, which can be done corporately and individually. Do you understand what I'm trying to bring out? Even in the tribulation, this rule applied. Matthew 25, I'll be reading from my end, verse 34 to 40. Matthew 25. An action that will happen during the tribulation. Okay. I know some people quote it as if it happened, is happening to the Christian church of the grace age. Actually, the timeline with which Matthew discussed is referring to the tribulation. Verse 34 downwards, Matthew 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye be blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, did you notice the freedom with which they did it, that they didn't even know they did it? When so we did an hunger than we do, when did we? Then Jesus said in verse 40, oh, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, not just anybody. So I thought I should show you that this rule really applies. Okay, if you we need to just teach it right so that we know how our flow ought to be. Yes, you do good to all, but there's an especially. All right, there's an especially as a way of just giving a further revelation for those that love Bible study. When you read on, then you notice that when Jesus said to the other group, depart from me, remember this is a tribulation passage, I was hungry, you gave me no drink, I did it, their own was, when did we see you that we did not do it? The first one was, when did we do it? This one, when did we not do it? Because they probably have been doing, but they do amiss. Okay. All right. Okay, so I just thought I should bring that in. It might be okay. I tell you about the reason you see some ministries liking to go to Jerusalem occasionally, for a reason which include being a blessing to Israel. I know, like Joseph Prince Ministries, they like going to Israel occasionally. Romans 15:27 is what explains this. They like going to Jerusalem. They want to. They talk about just be a blessing to a Jew, or maybe the poor among them. You can tell them it is your Jesus. It is your Jesus that you rejected that gave me this blessing. Okay, there's a reason for that, because God loves the Jews so much and they are in priority plan for the believers giving to the poor. Okay, Romans 15 and verse 27. Romans chapter 15 and verse 27. You know, I told you that God has something called reflected love, and it happens to the Jews. Romans 15 and verse 27. Just for those who wonder, why do these people always talk of Israel, be a blessing to the Israel? It's because of the gospel came out of the Jews. So 27 says, Paul speaking, it has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Gentiles are the debtors to the Jews. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, okay, that is the salvation that emanated from them. Okay. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Okay, so you see why when God blesses some ministries that understand the gospel, they just like to be a blessing to the Israelites. Okay. BBE version, yes, it has been their good pleasure and they are in their depth. For if the Gentiles have had a part in the things of the Spirit which we are theirs, it is right for them in the same way to give them help in the things of the flesh. Okay. That is things, you understand, material things. Okay. Their duty is also to minister to them in material things. And with this, we come to the end of today's teaching. Hallelujah. Where are you blessed today? Wherever you are, giving praise and thank him for the freedom of the amount. Take a few seconds right now and thank Jesus for the freedom of the amount. So we are through for today's teaching. I hope everyone was blessed. Okay. You basically learned the focus, the honor of the Lord, and the heart to help. And you learned the flow, the propagation to the ministry, of the ministry, the appreciation of the minister, and the intervention to the minister. Father, thank you for the freedom of the amounts that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the freedom of the amounts that we have in Christ Jesus. In one word, also receive divine enablements. Receive divine enablements to rightly flow the amounts per time. Receive divine enablement to rightly flow the amount per time. Thank you, Jesus. That's another way of saying receive divine enablement to be an excellent grace giver. All right. I only use the context of today's teachings. Father, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And we receive in the name of Jesus the enablement to rightly flow the amount per time as you bless us in Jesus' holy name. I want to believe everyone listening have understood the gospel. Those who are not saved and you want to be saved, you are interested in Christ Jesus, all you need do is to understand this freedom you have in Christ Jesus. You are a sinner. He is a savior. Ask him to save you. Save a sinner like me. Upon doing that, you are saved. He gives you his gift of righteousness. He receives your own sinfulness and buries it in the innermost part of a sea and puts a fishing pole at the front of the bank that reads, no fishing here, no fishing here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody, let's take the elements of our communion and let's just celebrate Jesus as we round up to this session. Hallelujah. As we round up to this session, partake graciously in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless this and receive this as the flesh and the blood of Jesus. We do this in remembrance of him. If you're not new to GOG, you know we are used to this and we've done a teaching to explain this. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Partake graciously in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, speak a word of blessing into this week. Thank you, Jesus. We receive this week as a gift of Abba in the name of Jesus Christ. Monday, blessed. Tuesday, blessed. Wednesday, blessed. Thursday, blessed. Friday, blessed. Saturday, blessed. Sunday, we keep growing in grace. Blessed in all we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. All right, our schedule for next for the next spiritual activities in GOG is ready. And I just sent it to the WhatsApp group. All right. Okay, so starting tomorrow, we are reading the book of Proverbs. Everyone should please join. I will expect to see at least 20 dons before 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Proverbs, we are reading the first 7 chapters, Proverbs chapter 1 to 7. No Bible, no breakfast. Remember, you are doing this before breakfast. Okay? The essence is to make you do it because you would definitely want to take breakfast. You would never want to eat. So, do it. Then, in September, we start the book of Luke and our review pastors will be here with us doing this for us. Pastor Adekoya, Pastor Temilolu, Pastor Ayo Sparks, and Pastor Ola Joseph, as shown in the schedule sent. And then we finish up with the book of Proverbs again to end the month of October. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, we'll be finishing this interesting sermon on the amount as we take up the remaining three F's, the forms, the faith, the fruits. Keep basking in God's amazing grace. God bless you. God's grace upon you in the name of Jesus. It's a week of favor and grace indeed in Jesus' name. Our benediction together, Romans 8:32. Before we just do that, once again, we welcome all that joined us in the WhatsApp group of the GOG as a result of an invitation they made at the last GOG conference held at Abeokuta. Let us also remember to click the YouTube link we just created and subscribe. God bless you all. Romans 8 and verse 32. 1, 2, 3, go. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In Jesus' holy name we have prayed. Amen. Thanks for joining. We continue the group.